Today is the first day of Sabre's new project to develop a chain of retail stores. I am meeting my new boss, Nellie Bertram, head of special projects. Work starts at 9. Sabre HQ is 30 minutes away, driving the speed limit. Giving everyone 20 minutes to shower, plus 50 for Jim to style his hair, 20 for breakfast, 40 for Erin to get lost between her room and the lobby, 90 for Ryan to do his morning ecstasy. We're already 20 minutes late. Wake up!
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly. Ethan Weiss and Nick here with you once again. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at Gotham SN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. And before we get into the Giants-Eagles game, the absolute massacre, you know what we got to do? Got to talk about Mojo. How would you like to invest in your favorite players? Well, now you can with Mojo. Mojo has over 300 NFL players listed, so you can invest in rookies like Garrett Wilson or Christian Watson, or superstars like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, or Derrick Henry. Prices move with every play, every game, and every headline, and you can buy and sell instantly anytime, all year long, so the action never stops. Mojo is live in New Jersey now. Download Mojo in the Apple App Store today and start turning playmakers into moneymakers. Must be 21 or older to use Mojo and located in New Jersey to make trades. Have a gambling problem? Help is available at 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit mojo.com for more info. Okay. The Giants got absolutely massacred by the Eagles this past week. We're going to get into it. We're going to talk about it. My overarching takeaway is I am surprised that people were surprised but I really shouldn't be, like, if that makes any sense. Weeks ago, when everything started to go downhill, did not think the Giants would win another game. They have sort of gone through the harder part of their remaining schedule, being that they have the Commanders, the Colts, who I despise, as everyone who's listening knows, and an Eagles team that may or may not rest their starters, although we'll see, because with Nick Sirianni, you never know. But listen, I've been paying very close attention to the NFL all season long. I know how good the Eagles are. So to me, this is not a surprise. A lot of people were sort of knocking them and saying, well, they just beat up on bad teams. Okay, good teams do that. Good teams are supposed to beat up on bad teams. And in the games they played against good teams, they still found a way to win. The Giants are not a good team. They were never a good team, despite what their record said. They got to their 6-1 start on the back of a little bit of luck and a lot of coaching above their weight, I guess, right? Like, if we use the boxing term, he's punching above his weight class. The Giants were coaching way above their weight class based on the talent they had on their roster. None of this is a surprise. I am not upset. I expected a massacre, and a massacre is what we got. So that's really all I'm going to say. And if, you know, we're talking about overarching themes and thoughts in the game, we'll get into the nitty gritty. We'll get into Saquon. We'll get into Dan Jones. We'll get into the coaching staff and the defense, but just overall, I don't know what people expected. This was always going to be brutal, and the Eagles made it so.
Yeah, the Giants are not in the Eagles class, and that's okay. That's okay, because these
not supposed to be. They were not. Yeah. They were never supposed to.
No. These are two different teams on different timelines. Look, you basically nailed everything. Outclassed. What did you use? Annihilated. Any other adjective you want to use?
Obliterated.
To describe it? Obliterated.
Yeah.
Outmatched.
Outclassed.
Whatever. The Giants had no shot in this game. No. I said it last week.
They're worse at every single position.
There's
by a significant margin.
When your margin for error is so thin, where when you get into second and longs, the drive is over.
Yeah.
And you're going against the Eagles.
I mean, you knew the game was over the second both Andrew Thomas and Evan Neal got beat on the first drive by guys who, listen, like, they're not bad pass rushers, but this is not cream of the crop. Like,
Hassan Reddick is basically the defensive version of Boston Scott. I mean, he's killed the Giants over the years. Look, the Giants are not in the Eagles' class. You can just—it's as simple as that. They're not gonna. They were not gonna win this game. They're not as good as the Eagles. They're not anywhere near the Eagles. They still have a lot of work to do. I came. The number one thing I said out of this game was like, thank God we didn't trade for a receiver at the deadline.
Yes.
It was very clear. The receiver was not making a difference for this team.
No. I saw the tweets, you know, using the idiom like seeing the trees through the forest, right? I think that's what's applicable here. Like kudos to Joe Shane for, by the way, absolute. Every week it just looks better and better. The trade for Kadarius Toney, or the trading of Kadarius Toney, not the trading for Kadarius Toney.
Right.
I don't think this guy's getting on the field the rest of the season. So, bravo to Joe Shane for the fleece. Absolutely great point, Weiss, with not adding the receiver.
Yeah.
It never made sense to me. It was a drum, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that I was banging weeks leading up to the trade deadline. Like, there was just 0 point in adding a receiver. People were upset. They were like, oh, you got to give Dan Jones some help. No. Just
he's a lot of help.
Claypool is not, you know, helping this team. Oh. Overcome, what was the final score? 48-17 or 22. Whatever.
48-22. Don't shortchange my guys, man. We need those.
Relax.
The Tyrod Taylor touchdown doesn't count. That does not count.
Yeah, exactly. I wiped it from my memory because I had turned the game off at that point. Red zone was on the big screen. So
we're talking about turning the game off. I turned it off at 21. What was it? 21-0. I said, all right, I'm good.
Yeah.
So in my mind,
moving it to the second screen.
Yeah. iPad.
Yeah.
They're not there yet. Hopefully
they
get
will.
There.
They will in two. Everyone's got to be patient. This is going to be a good team in 2 years. Like, you see the foundational pieces. They have a franchise left tackle. They, if he follows the same path as Andrew Thomas, probably have a franchise right tackle. When he's healthy, Azeez Ojulari has proven. I had my doubts.
He's good.
He's proven that he can be.
Can we say something about Azeez Ojulari? He's fucking good.
Yeah, he's really good.
Azeez Ojulari is fucking good, man.
Kayvon Thibodeau is getting pressures on like every single pass rush.
Those
like,
that two could pass
be
rushers,
a great duo. Yes. Dexter Lawrence is going to be a force in the NFL for the next 5 to 7 years. Xavier McKinney, when he's not breaking his hand on ATV rides in Aruba, is going to be a stud for years to come. Like, they have the foundational pieces. Like, this is year one. This is cleaning up the mess. They still have more of a mess to clean up in the offseason. And once they get more and more foundational pieces and you let this GM put his stamp on the roster and get his quarterback and really solidify the defense and really solidify the offensive line, like, this is going to be a good team. And I tweeted this out, like, you know, this is we got demolished the other day because of Dave Gettleman, and this is going to be a good team in 2 years. And a lot of people were like, nah, maybe 3 or 4. No, like, this is going to be a good team in 2 years. Not Super Bowl, like, ready to win a Super Bowl good, but like expectations of at least making the playoffs and probably winning a game in 2 years. I am that confident in saying that.
That's reasonable. I think realistically, you saw the gap. I mean, I saw yesterday and I was curious. Richie James, 10% of the entire catches he's made in his entire NFL career, he made yesterday. That's the kind of talent gap we're dealing with the Giants compared to what the Eagles have. Yeah. The Eagles have like 7 all pros across offense and defense. Yeah. The Giants have guys who are career practice squad as wide receiver one.
I think it was
emphasis of their offense.
Correct. It was either Bobby or Justin. Pointed it out. They were like guys who played against the Eagles that were pulled off the street or practice squad this year. Giants had like 10 to 13.
Yeah. There was nothing the Giants could have did. You saw it the first drive, the Eagles had the ball. Wink actually said, all right, we're going to play zone and we're going to make them nickel and dime their way up the field. And they dissected them. And then they started bringing heat. The Eagles were running for 7 yards a carry. That was the game. That was the game right there. It didn't matter what the Giants did on offense because the Eagles were going to score 50 points and the Giants couldn't sniff 30 points most weeks.
To look at the roster discrepancy.
Yeah.
Just lay out every position and tell me how many are you going to say as a Giant fan, I'm good with what I have.
The only one that's close is left tackle. And maybe defensive tackle.
No. I left tackle, I'm keeping Andrew Thomas. And maybe you're keeping Barkley over Miles Sanders. But everything else.
But if I get Boston Scott with him too, I'm taking Miles Sanders because Boston Scott's good for one touchdown every season. He's got talking, nine touchdowns.
If we're talking contract value, Miles Sanders.
But you guys get what I'm saying. Like the talent discrepancy is so big with the Giants. Guys that they like Fabian Moreau, it just seems like the magic has run out, right? Like he is who he is now. It worked for the first, you know, 9, 10, 11 weeks.
I mean, even Julian Love is overcompensating and trying and making like boneheaded really game changing plays early in the game. Obviously, it didn't matter, but like in the moment, you're down a score.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, in terms of like the UDFA guys and those guys picked up off the street, like you're seeing the magic run out. And it's tough, man. It's tough to get by.
I mean, again, just look at the offense. Like you're like, okay, wide receiver one and wide receiver two for the Giants, Darius Slayton and Richie James versus Devontae Smith and AJ Brown, tight end one for the Eagles, Dallas Goedert, who's one of the best pass catching tight ends in the game versus Daniel Bellinger, who's a fourth round pick this year. Like, and I understand Dallas Goedert didn't play. He was out. I'm just talking overall roster, but it's like, it's night and day.
Let's look at the Giant receivers, right? Their wide receiver one is Darius Slayton. They wanted to give him away during training. They literally just give me a Dunkin' Donuts gift card. I'll give you Darius Slayton. Nobody would take him. And he's their wide receiver one. Isaiah Hodgins is not even here. Was not even here until, you know, what, October, November. You know, Richie James was here at camp, but he was sort of behind Sterling Shepard. And then you see, like, it's such a depleted roster, and it sort of shows a lot when you go against these high end, top tier teams, like just how, you know, much work the Giants have to do. And look, the record is great. You love the record. You love the meaningful December football. I don't think any of us would turn away a playoff game. I mean, I wouldn't. So, but you also have to be realistic about what they are. And I think a lot of people just get too overly emotional at things, and they want to, yeah, I don't blame them. You know, it's been a rough 5 years, and finally having the opportunity to get to the playoffs, you want it. But you know, like you said, Ethan, there's a long way to go. I don't even think they've actually gotten the wrecking ball to this roster fully yet.
No, this offseason we'll see it.
Yeah, I think the wrecking ball's coming this offseason. So
they couldn't afford. They literally could not afford.
Speaking of could not afford, they brought in a god-awful punter. Jamie Gillen sucks.
Yeah, Scottish Hammer.
Thank you. Thank you.
They brought in a god-awful punter because they had no cap space. And the special teams have been abysmal for years. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, I mean, bro, you missed your foot with the punt. I don't know if I have ever seen that in the NFL.
It was embarrassing.
Before.
It was embarrassing. Yeah. It was so embarrassing.
He didn't know the rule either.
I'm so glad when you said in there, I never understood this love that Jamie Gillen was getting.
It's the hair.
Because he's a meme. He's a meme.
Yeah, I guess. It's the hair, and he's Scottish.
And he played rugby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you guys. I wanted to, like, just put a bow on this real quick, just to really put in perspective how bad things are for the Giants. Ethan, you put out a tweet yesterday about Kenny Golladay getting garbage time.
I did.
Snaps. You know, and I thought about it, you know, and I read your tweet a couple of times, and I'm like, this is insane when you actually think about it. Like, this is, forget about the highest paid receiver on the team. This is one of the highest paid players on the team. You know, outside of Leonard Williams, I think it is Kenny Golladay with the second highest cap hit on this roster. And you look at how bad the Giants receiving core has been well described by just about everybody. For him not to be able to get meaningful snaps in games.
He didn't even get a target.
He doesn't even play. Forget about target. He doesn't get on the field. The guy doesn't see the field.
72 mil.
It has to go down as the worst free agent signing in Giants history.
They're going
to
make a new season of Money Heist just for Kenny Golladay.
No, I'm sure, like, I thought about this, and obviously Nate Soldier's the big one, but Soldier played. Like,
At least he tried.
He was like on the field. He played. This guy can't even get on the field. And it's not like you got this great receivers in front of him where it's like, well, he's just not good. And they got good. He could have beat out Colin Johnson in the summer, right? Then during the season, Marcus Johnson was playing over
Marcus Johnson, yep.
And now Isaiah Hodgins has lapped him. Like, just think about that. Think about who the receivers
I legitimately think if Alex Bachman was on this roster, he would be getting run instead of Kenny Golladay right now.
If you were on the roster, you're getting run.
Make him play special teams. Make him be a gunner. Make him do something.
It has to be the worst free agent signing in Giants history, right?
Like, okay, so you know how, like, at the end of a game where, like, I think the Patriots would do this with Gronk. Like, if they're trying to defend a Hail Mary, they put their tallest players in the end zone to knock down a pass. Like, if the Giants were in that situation, do you think that Kenny Golladay would be in the end zone trying to knock a pass down? Like, on defense?
No. Like, they wouldn't even. He can't jump. He can't jump.
How tall is he? 6'5"?
6'4".
He's like 6'4".
He's tall.
He's got to be one of the taller.
Yeah, you put him back there. Yes. Based on his height, you would put him back there. But he's just.
No, but would they?
No.
No, they wouldn't.
I'm legitimately surprised they don't make him inactive on game days. I think they're just doing it just to, I mean, they don't want to make him look stupid.
Just in case.
They
don't have practice squad receivers to put on the active roster. That is why Kenny Golladay is stressing. They can't afford to call somebody up off the practice squad because that would be cap space.
He was buried behind Colin Johnson. He was buried behind Marcus Johnson. He's buried behind Isaiah Hodgins.
Isaiah Hodgins, who had 4 career NFL catches before he came to the Giants.
Yes.
Yeah, this has to be the worst free agent signing in Giants history, right? No, I'm serious. Like, is this?
It's got to be. I mean, just because scaling it out, like, over time, like, I don't know if you go back and look at some of the other ones, but as far as right now, yeah, this is god awful. And you just can't make it up. You really can't make it up.
And the funny
Dame's parting gift, his retirement gift to the organization.
The funny thing is, they were able to sign Kenny Golladay because Nate Soldier opted out in the COVID year.
Yeah,
that's true. So it's doubly Dame's fault.
Oh my god! Oh my god! We've been through a lot. I mean, when you tweeted that, you know, sometimes someone you see a tweet and you sit there and you think about it, and I'm like. This dude's making $72 million playing on a receiving corps with Darius Slayton and Richie James and Isaiah Hodgins, and he's getting garbage snaps.
No, he's not. He's not even.
He got in yesterday. He did get in yesterday in the fourth quarter. It was in Dan's column today. He got like 10 snaps at the end of the game.
I stand corrected.
Then. Zero. Yeah. His Giant career is going to end with 0 career touchdowns.
Yep.
And a $72 million contract.
It's like I'm already like mentally prepared for the Bleacher Report memes when he's off the roster. Like it's going to be like a picture of like sad Kenny Golladay like walking off the field.
Zero touchdowns.
Yeah. It's going to be like the next meme, like the NBA memes people talk about. Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's going to be the next one.
That's wild, man. It just puts it in perspective, really, how bad this whole thing is. It's bad. It's bad. Anyways, so that's the Eagles game. Let's look ahead. We got the future, obviously.
Oh, I'm not done.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got something else to say about the
Eagles? Why did Saquon play?
That's a great question.
Why the fuck was he on the field?
Stubbornness.
I think, can I give you my theory?
Go ahead, because in my eyes, he's 50-50 leading up to game time. That was the report from Jordan. That was the report from Schefter. He is genuinely a 50-50 decision with a neck injury. Okay. Right. His yards per carry has declined for like 6 consecutive weeks. He has been absolutely dog shit. He is not running hard. He is not running with any finesse.
See, I disagree with you there.
He has regressed to the running style of last year over the last few weeks. He has no burst. He is not fighting for those hard yards. And on top of all that, we're talking about a neck injury for the franchise that used a first round pick on David Wilson, whose career was ended by a neck injury in a game that the Giants were widely expected to lose. And a game where, listen, I get it. If you're the fucking head coach and you're like, oh, like if he can play, I want him out there because like he's probably my best offensive weapon. But this is a joke that Will always tweets out when, you know, a player's in or out. You know what the spread of the game was? At close, 7. You know what it would have been if Saquon didn't play? 7. You know what it would have been if he did play? 7. He does not affect the game, like, spread-wise at all. And if your management legitimately trying to make the playoffs, at some point, you just have to say, you know what? Let's just get this guy healthy because next week's game is far more important. And I don't understand why they didn't do that.
I think Saquon... I believe Saquon Barkley has a goal to play every game this season.
Of course he does, because he has to prove that he's not injury prone. But him playing hurt is clearly affecting his future negotiations.
I don't think it's a – I think – here's what
it's
I'll
obvious,
say.
It's obvious that he's not healthy.
We talked about this whole Barkley thing since April 2018. I mean, you and I, we've talked about it for nearly every episode we've done in the last 5 years. The thing about Barkley is that he's no different than any other star running back in this league. They all the wear and tear shows on everybody. But I don't think the reason why his yards per carry is down is strictly because wear and tear. I think there's other attributes to it. He is the only skilled player on this roster.
Of course, they're gonna hone in on him quite easily.
Right. He's going to be the guy they hone in on, and I think that they are. And they're playing much better teams with much better defenses. Outside of the Texan game, you saw Dallas, you saw Philadelphia, Detroit had an improved defense. You know, you saw Seattle. They all did the same exact thing. Hone in on Barkley. Giants are going to beat us through the pass, you know, through throwing the ball. I don't necessarily think that this is just, hey, Barkley's breaking down. I think this is a combination of the way teams are playing them, because everybody has wear and tear now. And obviously the running back situation, we know.
I agree with you. Like, yeah, teams are like zeroing in on him because he is the focal point of the offense. But this goes prior to the next.
But even if he wasn't dinged up, I don't think he would have been able to have success.
I disagree. I think he would have a little more success. And at the same time, like he had the shoulder issue a few weeks ago.
The shoulder was all the way in Green Bay. That was a long time ago.
But he was still.
But his yards per game have been going down since the Green Bay game. I mean, he's at 3.3 per carry.
What's been happening over the last 6-7 weeks? They're playing better competition. When Wandale Robinson was out there, do you know what opposing defenses were doing? They were saying, hey, that's the one receiver we have to cover. And Barkley, that's it. This is a second round rookie.
No defense is adjusting for Wandale Robinson.
I'm not talking about adjusting. I'm talking about, hey, these are who we have to zero in on. We have to zero in on that guy who's our second round rookie receiver and that running back. That's it. Now that receiver is gone, they don't have to zero in on anyone else. They don't have to zero in on Darius Slayton. I'm sorry. He's done a good job. They don't have to zero in on him. It's just Barkley. That's what's happening.
I'm not buying the slot cornerback saying, oh shit, now I have to keep an eye on both guys
when Saquon's getting the ball. When these defenses are sitting in a meeting room, there's two names on the board. And it's not because Wandale Robinson is that good. It's because he's the only other option. Like, you've seen what's happened since he went down. They have they're just not able to do anything throwing the ball. Zero. Nothing. So why is that? Because that one security blanket, that one receiver that could at least get the ball, they could get the ball to, he's gone.
Yeah, that's a reach. I'm not buying that.
Dude, well, who's their slot receiver right now? Richie James?
Yeah, Nick.
But you,
Saquon, they're correlation versus causation. Okay, Wandale's injury correlating with Saquon's decline in yards per carry.
I'm not saying it correlated. What I'm saying is that he was such an important part of their passing game by default. He was getting 10 targets a game prior to the injury. If you look at, he was there
because they had no one else. But that's not
exactly.
But that's not going to affect Saquon's production.
But when you're talking about a receiving core like this,
we spoke about it. We spoke about it like halfway through the season. Saquon was on pace for over 400 total targets.
And what did we say? It was not sustainable.
It's correct. And we're seeing the result of that. He is breaking down.
I'm not ready to say he's breaking down. I think everybody has wear and tear.
He's breaking down. He's got a shoulder. He's got a shoulder injury. He's got the neck. Now, okay, but he's still, throughout the course of the season, that gets worse. Now he's got the neck injury. His yards per carry every single week have decreased. He's breaking down. Whether or not defenses are honing in on him or not. Like, even when he was what was his rookie season yards per carry?
Like 4.8, 4.7. It was good.
Because he was breaking off 75, 65, 80, yeah, going around the outside. We're not even seeing that. It would be one thing if he just was regressing to not being an efficient runner anymore, but we're not even getting the explosive plays.
So here's what I'll agree. You know how you fix the running game?
You get the rest of the team better.
You incorporate Gary Brightwell and Matt Breida in the running game.
23-23.
You got to create a three-headed monster. You just have to. Saquon can
Or you get a better quarterback.
You want to run the wishbone? You want all three of them on the field at once?
Yeah, might as well.
I mean, if you rank their skill players, where does Breida and Brightwell rank?
Probably 3 and 5, something like that.
Yeah.
After Isaiah Hodges and Darius Slayton,
yeah,
and Barkley, they're 4 and 5. So the,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like you have like to fix the running game, I think you have to put more of Breida and Brightwell out there. I think that's the way you do it.
You actually have a quarterback that opposing defenses have to respect.
Yeah.
I think
it's multifaceted. There's multiple layers.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's the thing. They got to get more guys. They just don't.
They need guys.
They need linemen. They need to be able to run interior. They cannot run up the middle at all because none of their interior linemen get any push in the running game. They don't get anything on the outside because the pass rush is coming. I mean, they got obliterated in the trenches yesterday, especially when they were on offense. I think 6 different Eagles had a sack, and the Giants couldn't do anything.
Look, I mean, you know, Ethan, you and I have talked about it forever. The running back thing, paying, not paying, there's pros and cons. This is the con, right? You get to December and your running back is, for whatever reason.
What's the pro?
I mean, there's...
They sell some jerseys.
The pro is that you wind up with Derrick Henry in a sea of Todd Gurley's.
Or that's Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Or Christian McCaffrey's, yeah.
McCaffrey's actually the pro today.
He is the pro, yes. You wind up with the Christian McCaffrey and the sea of Todd Gurley's.
I don't know what they're going to do with Saquon Barkley, but this is...
To me, it's becoming more and more obvious every week.
Yeah.
To me, it was obvious earlier in the season when we had that conversation about him being on pace for over 400 touches. Like, run him into the ground and then franchise tag him if he's healthy. If not, sayonara.
3 years.
No, that's off the table.
36 million?
That's not happening.
3 years, 40 million? 1 year guaranteed?
No.
I don't know what they're going to do with Barkley, but look, you have no skill player outside of him. It's.
But we're bringing the wrecking ball, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but you got to – whoever the quarterback is, you got to give him a chance next year.
That's a good segue because I know Ethan's got some Dan Jones thoughts.
Of course he does. Let's talk about the rest of the season. I'll say this.
Of course he wants to talk about Dan Jones, but we're not going to do it.
No. I'm gonna line you up to this, right?
Go ahead.
I'm gonna pitch you the ball. I believe, and this is just my guess, if the Giants miss the playoffs, Daniel Jones will not be this team's starting quarterback next year.
Okay. But
if this team makes the playoffs, I believe Daniel Jones will be this team's starting quarterback.
Okay.
That's what I'll say.
I have certainly heard worse takes. I don't know. You know, because
that's the worst take, but he doesn't know.
No. I said it wasn't the worst take. Okay. I didn't say it was the worst. It wasn't the worst take. Like it's giving me pause, right?
Okay.
The one thing that has been just going through my head all day and even most of yesterday.
It's that time of the year where you're fighting with a lot of people about Daniel Jones on Twitter. I see.
Yeah, it is getting to that time. Is Daniel Jones is not the problem.
Wow.
But Daniel Jones is not the solution.
Snip that, Nick.
No. But Daniel Jones is not the solution. And if you are not the solution at the quarterback position, then what are we doing here? I mean, we look around the NFL every single year. And we look at these teams, and we have teams that are invested in young guys that we as Giants fans admit and know stink. We look at teams who have been riding the same veteran for 11 years, Derek Carr, who just stink. And you say to yourself, what are we doing here? You look at teams like the Colts, who year after year are bringing in these guys who you know, okay, they're probably not the problem, but they are not the solution. And every single year we're like, oh man, like, why did they do that? Why didn't they go out there and since Andrew Luck decided to retire, find the solution? Daniel Jones is not the guy. He is not the solution. Is he the only problem? No. But we just watched through the social media quarterback, right? We're recording this on Monday after Sunday night's It really should have been an ass whooping
had it not quarterback to watch.
Had it not been for fucking Brandon Staley and Joe Lombardi, who, not even joking, should be incarcerated for the play calling that they that they called for Justin Herbert in the red zone. I legitimately don't think that they called a single pass, not only just beyond the sticks, beyond the line of scrimmage in the red zone, but that's a rant for a different time. I mean, those two are approaching Colts level of hatred in my mind, but I digress. Justin Herbert, year after year, bad offensive line, horrendous coaching. His wide receivers have been banged up all year. They lead the league in guys who I think are running backs, but aren't really running backs because they have tight ends wearing the number 7 and running backs wearing offensive line numbers, and they're just all over the place. And again, you're like, okay, like, yo, this guy's got it. And I just keep coming back to my favorite show of all time, Breaking Bad, where Mike Ehrmantraut and Jesse are sitting in the car and they're going doing these pickups. And Mike just pulls the car over and he looks at Jesse and he goes, "You are not the guy. You are not capable of being the guy. I had a guy, but now I don't have a guy." The Giants don't have a guy. The Giants need to find their guy. And I'm hoping at some point, because my prediction is that the Giants are going to be very good in the next 2 years, that they will find their guy. He is not the only problem, but he is not the solution. And it's just, I cannot wait until this season's over, because Weiss, going back to your original point, I 100% agree. If they don't make the playoffs, he is not the quarterback next year. The caveat that I will add to if they make the playoffs, he's back. If they get their fucking ass kicked in the first round and it's like an actual embarrassment and the offense looks awful, I don't think he's back. Or if they genuinely cannot find anyone else and they don't feel comfortable rolling with Tyrod Taylor and anyone else. So I really do still think that the odds are in favor of him not being back next year.
I do have a question for you guys on this topic. Do you think it's viable to have Jones be the stopgap guy until they find your guy or not?
Yes, no. Absolutely. And there's absolutely only one situation where I think that happens, and it's if literally no other team wants him. Because why is he coming back to sign a 1-year contract?
Well, there's a transition tag I keep going back to.
Right.
Where I think you give him the transition tag, and if a team gives him a long-term contract, then you shake his hand, tell him thank you very much.
But no one's going to give him that a massive long-term contract. They're going to say, hey, come in here. So we have some pieces. It's either going to be a team that is like a Colts type situation where where they're just like, okay, like the guy can use his legs. He's not awful. Like the roster might be good.
He's young.
Yeah. And or it's a team very much like the Giants who just needs a guy to get them through the transition. But like, why are the Giants transition tagging him or offering him anything more than like a 1-year deal? He's not earned the money that a franchise tag contract is worth.
So I'm not advocating for a Daniel Jones long-term contract. What I'm saying is that if you make the look this year, watching Daniel Jones, it's very apparent that it's tough to get a read on him. It's basically what we've seen the last 4 years, where it's like a lot of bad, some
if you,
good.
If you don't know, you know.
No, I'm saying you don't. Yeah, exactly. You don't know. What we know is that he's not proven to be a part of the solution. That's what we know.
That's what, right? I'm saying.
So my thing is that if you make the playoffs, which I think they will, the transition tag is less than the franchise tag. It also allows Daniel Jones the ability to go out and see what his market is. I don't think his market is going to be as robust as people think. I think there's a lot of teams that are actually...
What is the transition tag? How much money?
I think it's about $27, $28 million. Versus the franchise tag, which is about $32, $33
million. That's still...
It's a lot, but here's the thing, though.
They should just offer him 1 year, $15 million. Like...
I think
that's not even Trubisky did better than that, and Jones is better than Trubisky.
Exactly.
What did Trubisky get?
I think he got 2x24. I think he got something 2 years. Like yeah. Yeah.
But I think
it's hard.
What did Teddy get from Carolina? Wasn't it 4 years?
So then that's more. So then 1 year 15 is more than 2 for 24.
Yeah, but I mean the second year though. That's the thing. because Jones probably would want that second year, which I no, you can't give him because it no. Like Ethan's saying, it's about 2 years from now. Even next year, like if even if they go 9-8 next year and they make the playoffs again, if they make the playoffs this year, that's not the end goal. Is to be a consistent. The goal is to win a Super Bowl eventually, and the stopgap quarterbacks and just keeping kicking the can down the road is how you become the Colts, become the Raiders, become the Vikings. Where even if you win 11 games, you win your division. Nobody's giving you a shot at beating the Eagles. Dallas.
Right, but again, still like lost in all this discussion is Joe Shane wants to put his stamp on the roster. Like for Joe sure. Shane wants his quarterback. Joe Shane wants to be the Giants GM for the next 10-15 years. The only way he's going to do that is if he finds a franchise quarterback, the most important position in all of professional sports.
I wholeheartedly agree with you, but what you're missing is I don't think that they can realistically solve their quarterback situation after this year.
I agree with that.
So when you lay out the options for Joe Shane, it's like, okay, you can part ways with Daniel Jones. It's like, what do you got? You got Tyrod Taylor under contract for one more year, and here's a bunch of bridge guys, you know, that you'll probably have to pay more than what they're worth to get them over here. So it's like, okay, well, that's the option. Well, and you can try to move like all this stuff, like, there has to be a realistic option on the table for the Giants. And for me, I think if you make the playoffs, it's tough, given everything we've seen, it's tough to be like, yeah, but, you know, we're going in a different direction. Unless that different direction is your guy for the next 4 years.
If you're the only realistic situation for this draft is Anthony Richardson.
That is they could still draft the quarterback and keep Daniel Jones. I don't think that that's
still they're going to roster three guys. Yeah, and they got to give Tyrod.
Yeah, why not? There's nothing wrong with rostering three guys.
Well, no, because they're going to make Jones is going to make real money. Tyrod is getting what, 10, 11? That you can't have $40 million tied up in the quarterback position if you're a bad team.
You absolutely can if you're trying to find your guy. That's one thing about finding your guys. There's no amount of money. There's no amount of draft picks that.
Tell that to the Broncos.
Look.
That's another team that's been kicking the can.
At the time, Ethan, what was your reaction to the Broncos trader for Russell Wilson?
They gave up too much.
They gave up, but that's the
but they went they for their got their guy for the next 5 years.
Exactly, right? So that's my thing. Hindsight's always 20/20. We get that. But at the time, you are going to get your guy. That's my point. It might not work. I mean, obviously that's always on the table, but I firmly believe, look, you make the playoffs, Daniel Jones is your starting quarterback in 23. You miss the playoffs. It's tough to give.
I understand, but listen, my counter has always been, we've had this conversation a number of times throughout the course of the season, right? We are looking at it from Joe Shane's point of view, right? Like, you want to offer Daniel Jones a 1 year contract. You want to transition tag him. You want to do whatever, regardless of the exact metrics.
Not long-term deal. I'm with
correct.
You
on long-term deal. You want to give him a one-year deal. Now let's flip the script a little bit. You're Daniel Jones. I'm Joe Shane. Daniel, right. I want you to come back for 1 year. Okay, well, a one-year deal indicates that I'm basically out of here after this year. Or not a team that needs a quarterback. Yes, it absolutely does. Yes, it does. Or a team comes to you.
You can tell him, hey, look, we are giving you the opportunity to prove to us that you're a franchise quarterback. And oh, by the way,
but Joe, I just played a full year in the new system. You didn't see enough. Why not?
No.
Oh, well, okay. Well, you know what? Go fuck yourself. I'm going to go take this 2 year deal from another team.
And that's perfectly fine.
But that's what's probably going to happen.
With the transition tag, it allows the Giants to own his rights, go out, see what's available.
But 27 is too much.
I mean, it's okay to overpay a little bit if you're trying to find your solution at quarterback. What is not too much? 20 million? 22 million? I mean, 20? what are the quarterbacks making this year? You know, with the fifth year option, what is Baker Mayfield making? What are some of these quarterbacks making in this league that you put in the same tier as Daniel Jones? You put Derek Carr in the same tier as Daniel Jones?
God, after the I don't know, man.
If you put Kirk Cousins,
I don't want to talk about the Raiders. They're the reason I might have missed the playoffs in one of my fantasy leagues. I had a stack of Carr and Devontae, and I was like,
my point is, can we agree that Daniel Jones is a fringe starting quarterback in this league?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fair.
So if we
that's
agree fair. On that, then look at where you put him at. Look at those guys' salary. Look at Ryan Tannehill.
But again, like we're going.
Tannehill's so much better than Daniel Jones.
He is. We're going to talk.
But we're lost in the weeds.
We are lost in the weeds. What this boils back to is what you and I started this conversation with. We don't know, so we know what they do next year. Unless it's drafting an Anthony Richardson, doesn't matter at the position. It doesn't matter.
The rest of the season, I think, is going to tell a lot about what the future holds for a lot of players in this team.
I won't disagree with you.
So I think this Washington game, I think, is there's so much at stake for a lot of players. The quarterback, the franchise running back, there's a lot on this table. And I just think I thought they were better than Washington when they tied them, and I think they're better than Washington now. But when you look ahead, I thought the Seattle loss really helped the Giants. I mean, if you look at the standings and you look at Seattle's remaining schedule, like, dude, them losing to the Panthers it almost makes that tie a lot better than what it was, you know, last week. But I want to ask you guys, looking ahead, Ethan, do you really think they're losing out? Because I don't know if sometimes you play games.
I don't think that they're going to beat the Commanders.
Okay.
Chalk it up to a loss.
Okay. Me and Nick have done this before. Someone asked you. So Commanders win. Let's say that locks Commanders into six, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that means there's one playoff spot left, and there's the Giants, the Seahawks, the Lions. Do you think your Seattle Seahawks beat my San Francisco 49ers?
No.
Okay, good. Just make it short. So that'll drop the Seahawks at 7-7, and then the Lions at the Jets. I actually think the Jets are going to win that game. I don't know.
I think the Lions are going to win.
Okay, so you basically so then we'll knock Seattle out, and we'll go Lions and Giants. Giants go Minnesota, Indy, Philly at Philly. Tell me how many wins you got there, 2 or 1 or 0.
Maybe one. Maybe Indy.
I hate the Colts like so much.
Well, just look at the Giants. They when they play,
God's gonna smite you for that, Ethan.
I know that's why. I know, Nick. I know that's why. That's literally
the best. What's the best way to predict the future? Look at the past, right? Well, in the past, the Giants, when they played these garbage teams, what do? They beat them. It's close, but they beat them, right?
Fine. So I'll give them a win over the Colts. I'll give them a loss to Minnesota. I'll give them a loss to the Eagles because I think Nick Sirianni is a vindictive fuck who's gonna play his starters for.
I don't think so. Sirianni is a very conservative guy. He didn't play him in the preseason.
Bro, how much were they up yesterday before he pulled the starters? They were up like 30.
No, he did pull starters. He didn't pull Jalen Hurts, but I don't think if they lock up that the number one.
Also, their backups are better than some Giants starters, so like whatever.
Okay, so you got the Giants. Then you got the Giants finishing 8. Let me do my math here. 8-1.
Mm-hmm.
So then the Lions. So then the Lions have at Carolina versus Chicago at Green Bay.
They should win all those actually.
They'll be favored in all three of those.
Yeah.
So then you think the Lions are going to finish
9 wins at least, because I think they beat the Jets. So that's 10.
So you think they're going to win out 10-7?
I think worst case, they have 9, which is still ahead of us.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Giants are going to miss the playoffs.
Yes.
Nick, you think the Giants are going to miss the playoffs as well based on
the way the last couple of weeks have gone? Yeah. Cause Detroit is rolling and the Giants are reeling. Like I looked at it today, someone tweeted it. If they win this week against Washington, they have a 46% chance of making the playoffs. If they lose, it goes down to 11%.
Speaking of the Lions, by the way, like, be honest, like we can all just open up and be honest with each other. How many times have you guys cried watching a Dan Campbell post win speech? At least two for me, at least two.
Dan Campbell and Derek Carr, two guys I just refuse to watch their post-game shit.
No, it upsets Weiss when they start crying.
No. Dan Campbell, I think Dan Campbell's probably only cried once. Dan Campbell makes me cry. Like, just the most inspirational shit.
It's too much.
No, at least twice.
I don't like the climactic bullshit, man. Like, just tell me if I do. Just tell the players, hey, I'll see you Wednesday, and call it a
game. You're getting put on the practice squad.
Look, I don't think the Lions are going to win out, by the way. I think they're going to lose to the Jets. I think the Jet, The Jets, to me, I legitimately think they're that one team that nobody wants them to get into the playoffs because the defense that they have, they're
got to see what Quinnen, though. Quinnen's questionable right now because he's the calf thing. That's a big thing because they really couldn't stop the run once he got out of that game.
I know, I get it, but I just think the Jets are – There really are. My respect level has grown a lot for the New York Jets and Robert Saleh. That's
big
Saleh.
Of you considering your rant like
6 all weeks. All I said was I thought Giants fans outnumber Jet fans.
No, you said you couldn't stand the Jets. The Jets disgusted you.
I spoke
about the Jets like they were ISIS.
We're throwing ISIS out in 2022. Aren't there more menacing threats now?
Yeah, you talked about the Jets like Robert Saleh was Joseph Coney.
The Jets.
We're getting older with the references.
The Jets are a very good football team. They're a team that I don't think anybody. By the way, the AFC is a gauntlet. That number one seed in the AFC is so important because I'm serious about the Jets, guys. I do think they are the team that nobody wants to face.
They're good in
the AFC just because of their defense. And if Mike White just plays mistake-free football and they can run the ball, they got receivers, man. I can see the Jets making a surprise run all the way to the AFC championship game.
Yeah.
It's going to be Mike White in a Kevlar vest.
If they get in, I do think they can make a run.
But they got Jacksonville in 2 weeks. They got Detroit. Like, it's not easy. The Jets, and they have Miami one more time, I think. The Jets are dinged up. I mean, if Mike White with broken ribs, and we're going to see Zach Wilson again at some point, just because that's the way football works, unfortunately.
No. Zach Wilson is done with the Jets. He's going to get into a game
because Mike White's going to be hurt, and they're not going to have Flacco active.
They're going to put Joe Flacco. Agreed. Zach Wilson is done with the Jets. Once you do that, and once you get benched, and then they make you inactive, they're not putting you back in. They'll play by Mike White and his broken ribs before they play Zach Wilson. It's over. Zach Wilson is done with the Jets. But back to the Giants. I do think the Giants can they beat the Commanders this week. I think you guys are very too high on the Commanders, man.
I'm not just low on the Giants more than
remember.
I'm
high on exactly. I'm low on not, the Giants. You think I'm afraid of Taylor
ago,
Heineke in a,
we
back,
saw
in a
two
vacuum?
Weeks ago. I am a legit believer in the Giants defensive line, and I think that they can cause havoc.
Is Leo playing? Because if Leo's not playing,
even if he doesn't play, they were getting to Jalen Hurts a little bit.
They couldn't stop the run. They got 190 yards on 180 yards on the ground. That's the thing, because Washington wants to run the ball. And if Leo's not playing,
we'll see with Leonard Williams. I don't think Washington's offensive line is good. And Taylor Heineke almost threw like he pisses me off. He's one of those quarterbacks that pissed me off just watching him. Like, he gets so much love, and the shit about the sneakers, like they'll win a game with him almost throwing, you know, four interceptions, and Taylor Heineke's gonna get a nice pair of Jordans, you know. It's like, dude, the guy almost lost you the game.
He's preparing for when he has to do a branded podcast.
They should go
after he's done with football. He's being a personality.
They should go back to Carson Wentz. Taylor Heineke is just
all right. No, absolutely not.
No way.
Absolutely not. Carson Wentz stinks. Carson Wentz is done.
Yeah. Taylor Heineke is not much better. I'll tell you that. He's just a more likable guy. That's all.
Weiss, apologize to Baker Mayfield before we get off.
Yes, no, true. I'm apologize to Baker Mayfield. Thank you, Nick. Thank you.
Why would
that's
I
why we keep you around. Apologize.
Why would I apologize to No. Time out. Well, why would I apologize to Baker Mayfield for?
Because he came in on 2 days' notice and won a fucking game.
Okay,
whose
fault is that? Okay. Now,
apologize for the disrespect.
Here we go. See, this is what Ethan does, right?
Apologize.
Are you going to apologize to Sean McVay? You called him the most overrated
that's
coach
actually a good
NFL.
Counter. That's a really good counter.
Are you going to apologize to Sean McVay, call him the most overrated coach coming
up? Yeah, fine. If you
apologize
to Baker Mayfield, I'll apologize to Sean McVay. Then I will not.
I will tell you this much. Baker Mayfield will get benched before the end of the season by the LA Rams.
Nope.
As long as John Wolford gets healthy, he will get benched one more time.
No shot.
And the Giants will make the playoffs. Those are two things I am – what is you want me to guarantee it? I will guarantee it. The Giants will –
All right, Charles Barkley, relax.
Yeah, the Giants will make the playoffs. I am very confident in saying that.
Great.
They will make the playoffs. And I know some of you guys don't want them to make the playoffs for whatever reason.
I don't care. It'd be fun.
No, not you guys.
At this point, who cares?
People say my man, they don't deserve to make the playoffs. What the hell are you talking about? They don't deserve to make the playoffs. I think the Giants make the playoffs, and I think that Baker Mayfield gets benched before his short LA Rams career is over.
Not happening.
And one of these days,
he's playing himself into another contract.
And then next week, they play Monday night at Green Bay. Whew. Can't wait for that one.
That's if Stafford retires, I mean.
Yeah, you know who's going to get benched in that game? Rodgers.
No way. Ooh!
No way.
For
no
Jordan
way.
Love, who now the rumors no are saying wants a trade request if he's if he's not starting games.
That was somebody called BS. I saw that. They called
why,
BS.
Why wouldn't he? First round pick. Rodgers has given him the treatment he got.
I think Aaron Rodgers could be a New York Jet next year.
Woo. So talk about just cyclical.
I'm jumping the gun, but I do think I was telling my Jet buddy.
Where do they film Jeopardy?
I don't know, but
I think in LA. I'm pretty sure that's at the Sony Studios in LA.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Well, that's a wrap, guys. Ethan, wrap us up.
Oh, actually, all right. So I was listening to another podcast. I want to do this real quick.
Yes.
Okay. Super. I thought it was fun. $1 million on the line.
Okay.
You have one chance. You get to pick one of these four. Kick a 25-yard field goal. Sink a free throw. Drain a 6-foot putt. Or score a penalty kick in soccer.
Penalty kick. Four. I think that's penalty kick, probably.
I think free you're throw. Dumb.
Free throw.
I also think you're dumb.
I don't play golf, so you don't even.
I suck at golf, so the 6-foot putt is definitely out. The free throw,
I think it's got to be the field goal.
No, I can't hit a field goal.
Yeah.
Crazy?
I can't.
Bro, 25 yards? Like, bro. The margin for error is pretty big.
Nah, man. Free throw. I can make a free throw.
Can you, though? One chance for $1 million?
I play basketball every Wednesday and Thursday.
What's the NBA average? What's the NBA? What's the professional average for a free throw?
I think 70 something. I think low 70s.
Free throw average. Well, I'm Googling it. Okay. The average for the 2021 season. Yeah, it's like mid, like you call it 75%. Those are professionals who get paid millions of dollars.
I'm part of that professionals.
Really?
I'm a good free throw shooter. I play Wednesdays and Thursdays at the gym.
What do you shoot? Free throw line. What are you shooting?
You know, I don't really.
You calling fouls playing pickup? I was about to say.
No, we have a 25 to 39 league. Oh. And we play Wednesdays and Thursdays, and we drop some money to get refs to come out. It's like $50 a game. I'm serious. And yeah, they call fouls.
Yeah, gotcha. But I hurt my kneecap over the week.
Nick.
He's crazy.
Against a professional goalie? Yeah.
You know, I didn't know it was against a professional goalie. I just thought it was
against
a goalie.
Into an open net?
No, I thought it was just going to be against another person playing goalie. I didn't think I was shooting.
Goalie.
Okay. You didn't say that. I just figured it was somebody of equal skill level playing goalie.
You laid that Moroccan goalkeeper on the ground. He's longer than the fucking goal, man.
Yeah. That man's got a 9-foot wingspan.
Yeah. By the way, Morocco's winning the World Cup.
All right, relax. Relax.
Hey, look, I'm plugged into the World Cup.
I'm taking we're not doing soccer. I'm taking
all right, Francesco.
I'm taking the field goal.
But then the field
goal, you got to worry about the snap and the holder.
Exactly.
Assume that that's like fine.
Okay.
Come on, it's a free throw, man. You guys can't make a free throw?
Bro, the NBA professional average is 75%, and you're telling me with $1 million on the line, you're going to be shooting like, okay, no problem.
Yeah. As long as it's not a metal net, I should be all right.
I'm going to record making 3 free throws in a row or 4 free throws in a row and send it to you guys.
No, I want a live stream, so I know you're not doing it over and over.
Okay, all right, fine.
You FaceTime us.
I got you. I'll, 4 free throws in a row.
Okay.
Dude, it's a free throw, man.
Fine.
What?
Famous last words. Up there, drop the top, Jackie. Famous last words.
I can make a free throw.
All right.
More than I can make a 25-yard field goal or penalty kick or –
Sure.
Golf. I mean, the closest I get to golf is top golf.
Bro, I'm not nice. Like I golf. I'm not doing the 6-foot putt. I would choke that shit so hard.
All right. I have never shot a 6-foot putt, so I would have to think about, okay, I would have to go do it a couple times and be like, okay, I can do
that. That might make it easier for you, honestly. Like, just less going on in your brain. All right.
Yep.
That's it for the episode. We'll be back later in the week to discuss the next game. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Check out the Mojo app in the App Store. Start turning playmakers into moneymakers. Talk to you guys in a few days.
Peace.